The doorbell rings. Who's that at the door? It's somebody here to make your kitchen a better place. What's the technology behind it? How does it all work? How would you put it together if you were the architect? That's what we're going to talk about on today's Dev Radio. Hi, and welcome to the next episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. I've got a handful of smart people on the line here, and we're going to be talking about a solution that we put together during a hackathon that, believe it or not, even I was part of this project, and still, it was a success. Absolutely amazing. We're going to start with just the technical evangelists we have on the line. Two of my absolute favorites. My number one favorite is Lauren Tran. We're lucky to have her here. Lauren, hi.
Hi there. How's it going, Jerry?
Well, you know, it's terrific. Here in Colorado, we're having tornadoes. What's it like in California?
It's pretty good. Pretty good weather today, actually. So I'm not jealous.
Nice. We have a pretty good story here. But before we start talking about this, this is Chef for Seniors that we're going to be talking about. But before we start talking about it, tell me a little bit about you, Lauren. You're a kind of a special evangelist.
So I am a startup technical evangelist, and what that means is there's a specific team that's sort of carved out to work with startups in some of the big accelerators around the U.S. And so I get to go in and meet with a lot of amazing startups and talk to them about their technology, what they're doing, and how we can, you know, leverage some really cool pieces of the Microsoft stack to bring into their products.
Now, if I'm in a startup and I'm a developer watching the show, and I'm like Lauren Tran, I've never met you before, but I can reach out to you. You really do help out startups. And if I'm not in your region or whatever, you can tell me who is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think a lot of startups don't necessarily know just how much love Microsoft is ready to give. It is pretty astounding. Pretty astounding. Speaking of love, and I can't say the word without thinking of Ian Philpott. Ian.
Hello, Jerry.
My second favorite evangelist. How's Atlanta today?
I'm sure it's good. I'm actually, I find myself in New York today. I'm in Times Square office.
Oh, you're in the Times. That's a sweet little office. That's a huge office, isn't it?
It really is, yeah.
Yeah. It's a, I don't understand why Microsoft picks the real estate they do. It seems to be the most expensive possible real estate you could ever imagine, right? It's just crazy. But we enjoy the luxury of it when we go. That's a sweet, sweet office. True. Now, wait, a lot of this project actually took place in that office, didn't it?
I know. It's just purely coincidental. I'm back in the same office at another Hackfest.
You never stop, Ian. Gosh, you just never stop. Tell us just a little bit about who you are. We've had you on the show before, but for all of your fans out there who just love to hear you ramble on.
Okay. Well, I'm a plain old evangelist. No special one here, just a developer evangelist. I focus in on...
Now, wait a minute. You and I are equally plain. Are we not audience evangelists anymore? We've dropped that term? Now we're just developer evangelists?
I think we did. I think the audience thing is gone. It's more of a evangelist title.
Man, I always live in the past. All right, keep going. Yeah. Sorry about that.
So,
what's your thing?
I like to write code. You know, we've done that together a few times, focused mainly on DevOps, the developer part of the DevOps world, but
you're one of the few people that kind of has his head wrapped around Azure, right? I mean, when people ask me about Azure, I'm always like, oh my gosh, there's so much to it. I talk to you about it, and you're like, yeah, but what about that, put them in this order, and you have it done. It's pretty handy. Pretty handy. All right, cool. So here we go. This is the Microsoft contingent of this call. But we've also got Nathan. Nathan Allman, he's the chef extraordinaire. Nathan, thanks for being on the show today, man. What's it like in Madison? Is that right?
Yeah, I'm here in Madison, Wisconsin. And we're also having like gale force winds today. It's crazy. I think we got about 40, 50 mile an hour gusts going on outside.
My house is shaking. It's sort of freaking me out, to be honest. What's it like in Madison? A lot of technology stuff going on there.
We've actually got a pretty exciting startup scene here. I mean, Madison's a relatively small town, 250,000, 300,000 people, but we've actually got the University of Wisconsin here, which is where I graduated from back in 2015. So there's a pretty good kind of tech startup scene going on, you know, just ideas coming out of the university. So,
yeah. Well, I just graduated too, so this we have that in common. I mean, it wasn't. It was like 3 or 4 more years back. I lost track. So you know what? A university can really jumpstart a startup scene as well, and you're part of that whole scene. And you're a developer, I guess, as well, right? You're a CS major that knows what's going on. Is that right?
I'm actually not a developer myself. I'm kind of consider myself like an amateur coder. I'm trying to learn right now. I'm trying to get into like JavaScript and that sort of thing. It's something that I picked up in the last few years. I actually was a business school major, so I graduated with a finance, marketing, and environmental studies degrees.
Nice. Okay, so a guy like you obviously needs to partner with co-founders. You are one of several co-founders of Chef for Seniors. Tell me a little bit about what Chef for Seniors is.
So we are basically a company that connects senior citizens who need help with nutritious meals with professional chefs. So we hire professional chefs that will actually go into our clients' homes to make meals for the week. So it's kind of amazing, actually. They'll go in like a 2-hour period, make 10 to 12 servings of meals that are completely customized to that individual's dietary concerns. Like if they're diabetic or need low sodium meals, they'll make all the food, package it up, store it, clean the kitchen. It's kind of like magic. And then they come back right the next week.
Yeah, that is beautiful. Am I a senior? How long until I qualify? This is beautiful. Now, how broad of a reach do you have so far? I know you're a startup. I know things are just beginning. What cities are you in?
So we got started in Madison. We're also in Green Bay, Wisconsin. We're in the Chicago area, kind of the north suburbs of Chicago. And then actually our, by far, our fastest growing market right now is actually South Florida, which is not surprising. We're in West Palm Beach down to about the Fort Lauderdale area.
Oh, wow. Well, actually, I'm thinking Florida probably makes tons of sense. Do I give you the food or you do bring the food? What are the logistics?
So our chefs go grocery shopping right before coming to the home, which is actually a really nice part of our business because different than some of these other food startups that you see like Blue Apron, HelloFresh, those meal kit services where they actually have to have central food storage facilities. We don't have to do any of that because we're actually using the infrastructure of the grocery store to purchase all of our food. So the chefs go grocery shopping.
That's great for you and great for me because you can buy locally and you can buy farm to table and everything else that I might want.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, it's really easy for us to buy, you know, organic for folks that want that, or, you know, we even have some clients that are vegan and want us to shop at certain stores, specialty stores, so it really allows us to customize the service specifically to the client.
Nice, and I can insist on you have to go to Safeway because I only eat my bananas from Safeway or whatever, you know, it's going to be a cold day in the old folks' home before I eat bananas from Kroger, so that's pretty I don't know, but that's pretty nice. That gives me a lot of control, and I imagine even still a lot of your clients over time really release that control, and they're like, you can actually make the best choices because you're serving so many clients.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think what people find over time is that the relationship that they develop with their chef, that time that the chef is in the home, becomes a very important part of the service, and once they really trust what the chef is doing, then we can kind of start to sneak healthy food in there, because with that generation of folks, you know, they grew up eating McDonald's and drinking Coke. They're not exactly the healthiest generation. So once they start to really trust their chef, then you can actually start introducing them to things like, oh, you can try brown rice instead of white rice and that sort of thing.
I don't know if you've ever gone out to lunch with Ian, but he's not the healthiest generation either. Something about barbecue sauce that
That's
just gets
right.
him going. Now, Lauren, clearly it's the opposite, right? Because Lauren... it's nothing but health. Everything's organic for Lauren. Now, I'm fascinated by this concept. So tell me a little bit more. You go to, where's my cost? Am I just paying for groceries or am I paying a service or am I paying like a extra, you buy $100 worth of groceries and charge me $200? How does it work with the cost of resources?
So you're actually paying for the service, which we charge a flat rate for. That's $90 for the chef to come in, do all the custom menu planning, the grocery shopping, and the cooking. And then the grocery that they buy is just a pass-through to the client. So they actually will leave the receipt there with the client so they can see exactly what they bought, and that just gets reimbursed.
What a service. Just that alone is so valuable. Wow, that is incredible. Now, tell me a little more. I've only got a hot plate. What do you do in a situation like that? I don't have an oven.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's one of the big reasons that we don't actually go into nursing homes to do the cooking, which is kind of a misconception that a lot of people have. They think that we're in assisted living facilities. Those places usually don't have kitchens. So we're primarily cooking for what we call independent seniors. So people who are in their homes and they want to remain in their homes and remain independent as they age, as opposed to transitioning into those kind of facilities.
Sure. I think Ian knows exactly what you're talking about. Ian doesn't have a stove, funny enough. He only has a microwave. The door's broken, so he took it off. But it seems to work fine.
Processed and fried, man. I don't need it.
Every time you cook something, you're not hungry anymore. It's weird. All right, last question for you about until we get into the technology. Does the chef wear the hat? That's what I really want to know. Are they fully, like, the full getup?
We don't make them do the full getup. We had chefs early on that we made wear the hat, and they said that it was ridiculous, and they didn't want to wear it anymore. So we decided to just do the chef coat. We decided to compromise, listen to what our employees were saying, and let them go ahead and take the hat off and just do the coat.
Well, and you got to be nice to them too, right? Because part of it is the relationship with the chef and your customer. You don't want to have a bunch of turnover with your chefs because you have them dressed like clowns.
Yes, that would be nice.
No doubt about it. All right. Well, Lauren, how did this all begin? You met Nathan. How did it all happen?
Yeah. So I came into 500 Startups to a round of office hours with companies. And Nathan was one of the companies that signed up to come meet with me. And so we kind of chatted about how can Nathan and Chefs for Seniors use the Microsoft platform. And he mentioned a little bit about how he wanted to build an app. And that he wanted it to be cross-platform. And so I was thinking, hey, we have, a really cool program where we could probably grab a couple of folks and get together with your team and build out an app. And so that's where it all started.
Casual conversation. Now, a lot of people, they're not going to, so 500 Startups is?
So 500 Startups is an accelerator in the Bay Area. It's based in both San Francisco and Mountain View. And it basically, they bring in startups that go through a 3-month batch where they receive mentorship. And at the end of the batch, they end up demoing their product to investors.
Got it. Almost like a class going through graduation. And then tell me a little bit about office hours, because you still do office hours today.
I do.
And I don't know if everybody knows how what a rich resource. There you are, just ready to talk.
Yeah, exactly. The real point of my team is to be there to support startups, to get to know them, to support them, to help figure out how we can help, how Microsoft can help. And so I come into the accelerators and have people sign up to come meet with me, and they can discuss anything. They can talk about technology, business, how we can help grow their customers, what we can do from many standpoints in a partnership. And so it's very much an exploratory conversation, and then you figure out where we can go from there with a partnership.
Sometimes such a simple conversation turns into a project like this where all of a sudden an army of Microsoft developers comes alongside of you and knocks out a MVP for you. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. And so then we worked out a time. We picked a central location of New York City, which is where nobody lives. It's kind of like meeting in Switzerland, I suppose, from a development point of view. And we had a Hackfest. Now, Lauren, how is a Hackfest different than a hackathon?
So a Hackfest is with external companies and partners. So we call internal hackathons, where we build together, that is a hackathon. And then a Hackfest is where we really bring people externally to come code with us. And we bring lots of Microsoft people and a few different partners, customers, startups. And then there's just the really rich environment of resources around to help you finish out your app.
Well, and it's a very special thing. And you said it's code with. And this is a new motion for Microsoft where we used to tell everybody, man, did you know you could do this and you could do that and you could do that? Now we do it. We sit down with you and we're like, let's just show you with your own data. It'll be that much easier. And we have this awesome experience where you have somebody like Ian come in and isn't confused by the Azure stack and can come in and point you to everything that needs to happen right. You didn't give yourself enough credit, where you have somebody like you come in with machine learning experience that can really do some complicated business that's hard to approach otherwise, and then somebody like me to slow down the velocity in case you're getting too productive. So it's really great. But really, I mean, it really is neat. And we use the word hackfest, but it's funny. We don't mean that, right? It really is just to sit down and code with you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we'll have it where several customers are here at the same time because somebody like Ian is a valuable resource. It'd be nice if he could sit in between two tables and talk to everybody at one time. And so we have a, you know, it's just a, it's more like a party than anything else. And so it's really a cool motion that we have going on. And then you'd started dreaming up the architecture. And Ian, I want you to just give me a visual picture of the architecture. How complicated is a solution for Chef for Seniors?
I don't think it's very complicated at all. It's, you know, we used kind of the interior approach for building out the application. You've got the Xamarin app, which is what the chef typically interfaces with. That talks to an API sitting in Azure. That API persists data down into a SQL database. And then there's also a Node web app that actually is kind of the admin interface that drives the back end, loading recipes and things like that up for the chef's grocery lists and things like that.
And all the data is transacted in SQL Server in Azure. And so I see, so four big things, you know, whatever the chef is holding in his hand, and that's the reason I think we went with Xamarin, right? Because you never know what a chef is there. And the last thing Chef for Seniors wants to do, and the last thing Nathan wants to do, is go buy a device for all of his chefs. That's not a perfect business model at all. And so now, just bring whatever it is. We'll make sure the app works for you. But then, Lauren, you have this Node front end really just for Nathan and for all the Chef for Senior admins to come in and tweak whatever's there, be able to adjust what things like ingredients and recipes and stuff like that they use?
Yes, that's correct. And so the Node app is also hosted in Azure App Services, and it's hosted as a web app with a Node backend, and it talks to that API layer that Ian discussed that was also hosted in Azure API apps.
So Azure can run Node web apps?
Yes, it can. And actually, very simply, it's really easy to set up your GitHub repo and configure continuous integration. And then, you know, it really does the build and everything for you. And you can kind of go into the console there and do your NPM installs for anything additional. But it's really easy to get up and running. I was surprised the first time I used it, so it's pretty awesome.
Hmm. Yeah. And still talking to SQL Server. Ian, yeah. You think SQL Server's the best database?
The best database? Of course.
Do you think it's a fast database? Well, we have.
Well, that.
Ian, it's the fastest database in the world. We hold the record over Oracle for like 3 years in a row now.
Yeah. But in Azure, it depends on the tier you choose.
Course, that's right. But I mean, if you're going to, even a governed, a Formula One car is still pretty sweet. You know what I mean? I mean, it's still pretty sweet. It's a gas guzzler if you're not careful. So you got to make sure you buy the right tier inside Azure.
Of course. But that's why we chose it, right? Because it's, it's great.
Well, and look, Chef for Seniors is in four cities right now. As soon as they go to 45 cities, all you got to do is slide the slider and scale up and everything's ready to go. You don't have to change all your architecture and say, and how are we going to perform with this much usage? Nathan, so you sit down, you're at the Hackfest, you're not a developer, but what did you see? What was your impression of just speed of development and these sorts of technologies working together? What was your impression?
Well, Jerry, I was just amazed that these guys were able to get so much done in such a short period of time. I mean, I was only out there for about 3 days, and, you know, it seemed like we really got a lot done. There was a lot that they were doing that obviously I didn't know about. I wasn't very familiar with. I felt like my role there was really to provide a lot of the business logic and just try to learn as much as I can or much as I could about what they were doing. But, yeah, it was certainly very impressive, to say the least.
And now that you have this, I guess it's kind of like an MVP or a POC or whatever three letters we put onto it. What happens next? Are you handing this off to your developers then, and they are taking it from here?
Yeah, they're putting a lot of the work with the UI of the app and sort of how it looks and feels. And then the next step for us is going to be actually beta testing it with some of our chefs. But ultimately, what we want this app to be able to do is take all of our menus and grocery lists and put it on a mobile application for our chefs, and so they can see their client profiles, all their nutrition information on their phones, which is going to be tremendously useful to us at scale.
Yeah. Now, on a nerd side of things, we definitely used Xamarin Forms here. And part of the reason we use Xamarin Forms is you can build it for any of the platforms. You can debug your iOS application in an Android app or in a Windows app at the same time. And as long as you get it working in one, you know it'll work in the other. And it's sort of beautiful that way. What's special about this Xamarin implementation is it uses Prism for Xamarin Forms. And Prism... Brian Lagunas is the, I don't know, the gardener of this right now. It's an open source a framework for any Xamarin Forms application. And anybody building Xamarin Forms today, I would be really interested why they wouldn't use Prism, because it solves a lot of problems for them really up front. In the way that like Template 10 solves for UWP, we have Prism, which of course has the same name as WPF Prism, but it's not the same. It's made for Xamarin, and it solves navigation problems, and it's totally friendly with all your injection, and it's just ready to go. And so that's one special piece around this one, is not only was it Xamarin Forms so we could reach every platform, but it was Xamarin Forms going ahead and leveraging Prism, which really needs to just be the go-to framework, I think, for Xamarin Forms anymore. Now, Ian, on the web API side, was it just vanilla ASP.NET?
Yep, just vanilla ASP.NET web API. Deployed out to an app service, using, I believe, just Entity Framework. No, excuse me. We actually used ADO.NET because it's a little bit quicker, and we had some constraints where we wanted to have.
You're starting an argument. That's great. Now here comes the debate on whether or not it's quicker. But keep going.
Okay. Yeah. True. Hey, be with you. Anyway, we had a couple of the areas where we wanted to use readers and tables and things like that. So. We chose to go with ADO.NET to talk with the Azure database. And, we set up some of the, Lauren had mentioned, we had some of the continuous integration deployment stuff set up for that as well. So as code gets checked in, it gets deployed out pretty seamlessly.
Now, talk to me about further down the continuous pipeline. What you introduced Hockey App in this project, right?
Yes. Yes, we did. So
tell me its role. What did it do?
So, in the DevOps world, you're really looking for that feedback loop between the user and the developer so that we understand what problems are happening sooner. And Hockey App really kind of answers that for us here, where we're able to, with just three or four lines of code, get it working within the Xamarin app. And we're able to not only push updates to that app, for people like beta testers and things, but also we can grab telemetry information and metrics about how the app is actually running and kind of shorten that feedback loop. So, we could fix some of that, some of the code if there
were any problems. Hockey App's really the new world of what Application Insights is for websites, right? Where you see Application Insights really doing telemetry and performance analysis and all that sort of business for websites. When you look over at client applications, it's Hockey App. Microsoft bought Hockey App, 4 years ago now? I mean, it's crazy. I mean, we've owned it for a long, long time. And there's a free tier. It kind of doesn't make sense not to use it, if you ask me. And since today's Visual Studio 2017 launch, I might as well just also say, now with the Visual Studio Mobile Center, it all ties together so you can have this dashboard that crosses all the different things that you might be using as well. So it's really coming together. So there's only a couple of lines in Hockey App, in your application to leverage Hockey App, as long as you have the SDK there, and then you have the opportunity to do things like A/B testing. And I think a lot of developers don't know what testing is, but they don't know what A/B testing is specifically. Developers do know what testing is. I was only kidding. But A/B testing is kind of special. How would you use it?
Well, that's a lot to do with how the UI is laid out. Where you can set up a couple of different UIs and capturing the telemetry and how people are using it, you can see, what kind of click-through response rates are getting, and just kind of using some of that type of telemetry information, decide which UI, based on the data, is a better fit for your users.
Yeah, and then talk to me about the feedback loop. How is Hockey App special? How's it doing it?
So essentially, you get a couple of objects that allow you to collect telemetry data, and it automatically, you know, ships that back up to the Hockey app interface. And you could just jump right in there and review your logs, and
From the user's side of things, this is totally transparent. You're yes. able to get all this information without having to interrupt their workflow. You could still totally monitor every click they do, every process they go through. They have no idea, and Hockey App is there caching it all and sending it in batches so they don't gobble up all their bandwidth at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah, I feel like I'm reading your mind, Ian. I feel like you gave me the speech already, and I'm just repeating it. Oh, my goodness. Lauren, was it pretty hard working with Ian?
Oh, it was super easy. Ian is so knowledgeable about a lot of things, and so, I got to learn a lot about DevOps, about his world in this process that I didn't know before.
Now, Lauren, if I had given you one extra day at this Hackfest, what do you think what would have been different? What would you have done more or less or changed?
An extra day.
Yeah.
Let's see. I maybe, you know, we had a lot that we could have continued to build out. We could, for example, with the Node web app, there were pieces that we got basic functionality working for, managing recipes and managing ingredients and things like that. But more of the scheduling piece in the admin interface where, say, an admin can go in and assign particular chefs to particular clients and manage some of the, you know, recipe, additional recipes and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now, here's a question. Why did you pick Node instead of making it an ASP.NET site or something like that?
So Node is extremely popular among startups, and when I go into an accelerator in Silicon Valley, at least, it's the most common language used, and so it's a very common back end. And so working with Nathan and Chester Seniors, I thought it would be a really simple thing for his development team to pick up, and it also really integrates very well with App Service, with Azure Web Apps. Mm-hmm. Super easy. It only took me several hours, like a few hours, to really spin something up, just get a quick website out there and spin up, you know, this Node front end where I could call into the API layer to access the database.
You know, that's a pretty sweet message, actually. If your development team is a Node development team, then Azure doesn't ask you to turn it all over into Microsoft technologies, right? They just kind of meet you where you are, and just between you and me, you know, when you're ready to grow up, we can do that too, right? And so it's one of those sorts of things. So it's kind of cool. And hey, people run their businesses on Node, right? So it's not like it can't be done. So it's pretty sweet deal to be able to say, here we are, an open platform. You like Linux, go for it. You like Java, go for it. You like PHP, go for it. You like Node, go for it. You like Microsoft technologies, go for it. Either way. And it's pretty sweet offering all the way around. Now tell me, Nathan, I'm pretty compelled by all this. I don't know what your plans are to come to Colorado, but all that being said, if there's a developer listening and they're like, wow, I want to know more, where do you point them? Where can they go to learn more about Chef for Seniors?
Well, I think the best way to get a hold of us would just be email Nathan, Nathan, @chefsforseniors.com. Otherwise, you can visit our website. We do have a website up, chefsforseniors.com, and that provides a lot more information on the service and everything that we're doing.
Got it. And I guess you could have Chefs for Seniors when you go international. So there's a lot of options for this company that are pretty
good.
There
you go. You might have to copyright that.
Yeah, copyright. You can keep the same domain. That's the best part. Let's see. What were we saying? I threw myself off with some ridiculous thing like that. okay, so we know what Lauren might have done if I had thrown an extra day into the Hackfest for her. But what are you going to do over the next couple of weeks, months, years? What do you think Chef for Seniors' future looks like?
Well, that's the big question. We want to expand this service into other markets. I feel that there are people all across this country that could really benefit from having one of our chefs in their homes. We actually are really excited to be launching a partnership with a large nationwide organization that also provides meals to seniors. Unfortunately, I can't provide the name. Our attorneys would be mad if I did right now, since we're sort of in negotiations with them.
Right.
But we're going to work with them.
I think we all know that it's McDonald's.
I can tell you it's not McDonald's. But we are going to be working with this large organization that's really going to help us get to a lot of other markets across the country. And hopefully this year, you know, we'll be doing some big things and scaling up into some other states and cities. And, you know, this app will be a big part of that, making our workforce more efficient.
You provide a tailored service to all these seniors. Meanwhile, you're also providing this tailored experience to all your chefs who are actually out there in the field, in the line of duty, actually building this. It's pretty neat. I mean, honestly, I love talking to startups because all their ideas are so great and they're so like refined, and you always talk about like the vision instead of the mechanics of it, and it's just a cool thing. Ian, don't you like startups the best?
Oh, that's great. Innovation at its best.
Hell yeah. I'm a big fan of innovation. Big fan. Nathan, hey man, thanks for being on the show today and talking to us about Chefs for Seniors.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Lauren, it's always a treat having you on. Thanks again for being.
Thanks, Jerry.
Later, Ian.
See you, Jerry.
Bye, guys.